Back to the Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
Gonzaga in the Pac-12 at long last. Andy Patton coming up, our guest. He hosts a podcast called Locked On Zags. He also writes for USA Today's College Wire. He went to Gonzaga, so we've got some perspective. But Gonzaga in the Pac-12, what does it mean? How is it being greeted? Andy Patton joining us. Punch him up for me, Stephen, if you can. There he is. Andy, what was the reaction with Gonzaga fans?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. It's been a little bit more split than I would have thought. I think part of the fact that we don't have the full picture right now in terms of finances, which we may not get for a while, and then in terms of just who all is going to be in the conference. But I think generally it's excitement. I mean, we're talking about a league right now as it stands with eight teams in it. Six of those teams made the NCAA tournament last year. John, I didn't even have to do any research on this. That's never happened in the WCC. I can tell you that with a lot of confidence. So, you know, you're looking at a league that's got more NCAA tournament success, more programs with consistent, sustainable building long-term, you know, and I think for Gonzaga, they rebuffed the Mountain West. I think it was in 2018 or so, because they got some concessions from the WCC in terms of NCAA tournament units. They got more money out of that. They got a double bye in the WCC tournament. And so I think that the WCC served them very well, but this move is going to lead to some more money. It's going to lead to a lot of positive things for Gonzaga. So I think that the general consensus is excitement and happiness that this is a move the Zags have finally been willing to make. But I think until we see the full picture, there's some fans out there who are going to be a little skeptical.
Oregon goes to go to the Big Ten. We all know Phil Knight's getting a phone call. Who's involved in making the decision to go to the Pac-12 as it pertains to Gonzaga?
Yeah, you know, I think Mark Few obviously is going to have a big say, a big pull. He always has. And you know, I think the longtime AD at Gonzaga for a really long time was Mike Roth, and he had a huge hand in Gonzaga becoming what they became. You know, Mark Few is always going to get the majority of the attention for that. But without Mike Roth making some of those decisions, I'm not sure that it happens the way that it did. And while he's no longer in that role, Chris Standiford, the AD, worked with him for a long time. And so I think the two of them, the president, Thane McCullough, has been there for about a decade now. He's somebody who has always cared passionately, not just about the university and the institution, but has cared about the athletic side of things and a lot of the big improvements we've seen at Gonzaga. In terms of the new Volcar Center and improvements to the kennel and various other things have been because of his willingness to acknowledge how important it is for the athletic side of things to grow. So I think that's kind of your group right there that I think has a really big say in this. But there's certainly other parties as well that wanted to make this happen.
We know that football moves the needle as it pertains to media rights. And so the next two editions, you know, the Pac-12 telling me they know they have to add an all-sports edition, a school that has football. So there'll be, you know, obviously a football-first mentality, I think, as they go to fill the eighth spot in the conference, or eight and nine for football scheduling purposes. You know, I think Gonzaga opens the door to other possibilities, Andy, where maybe you're looking at some schools that might not have taken your phone call before, and maybe even some Power Four schools that feel like, hey, they have an impossible path to the playoff, but if they could be in this Pac-12, gosh, you know, you only have to get by Boise State and company to get to the playoff. So, you know, the basketball part of this feels like it's in good shape. The football part, mostly good shape, to be determined on the last couple members, but what are the kind of schools that would move the needle for that faction of Gonzaga fans who says, well, I want to see the bigger picture first?
Yeah, you know, I think there's very few schools that I think are realistic options currently for the Pac-12, you know, without knowing all the details, that move the needle for both football and basketball. And I think that's kind of the balancing act that the Pac-12 now has to kind of figure out. You know, we know that the Memphis AD said, I'm saying no to the Pac-12's offer, not the Pac-12. Can the Pac-12 make a huge push to land Memphis? That would be an incredible addition because it adds value in both football and men's basketball. some of the other programs, I think, aren't going to move the needle a ton for Gonzaga. But, you know, Gonzaga athletics, the leadership, they understand that the football is the priority here. So if they have to go get a, you know, a Texas State or somebody like that, where it's like, okay, that's not going to excite Gonzaga fans. They would rather see programs that are better at basketball but aren't that good at football, like a New Mexico or a Nevada, which I know is not schools that the Pac-12 has shown a lot of interest in, but that are NCAA tournament caliber teams. And then, of course, you have the options that are non-football as well, which won't be and should not be the priority for the Pac-12 until they secure their spot as an FBS caliber conference. But what if they look at a St. Mary's or a Grand Canyon, or even, you know, getting outside the box a little bit, you look at a Wichita State, or see if you can try to pull a Dayton or somebody like that from the A-10. I think those are all things that Gonzaga fans would like to see. I wouldn't be surprised if they're things that Gonzaga's, you know, men's basketball department wants to see, but I think everybody kind of is under the impression that, hey, they're going to focus on filling out that football conference, getting themselves into a spot where they feel secure there. And then if there are some non-football schools that make sense, maybe they'll go after them.
I keep looking at, like, kind of the middle and bottom of the Big 12. Maybe mm-hmm. the ACC schools are too difficult to get out of that grant of rights right now, but certainly want to keep a seat warm for Stanford and Cal if things do implode mm-hmm. there. I think there's some real options. We're talking to Andy Patton, Locked On Zags podcast, among other places that you can see his work. You know, the WCC is going to have its basketball media day coming up in just over a couple weeks from now, and Mark Few will get up and talk. And I think there was a lot of, discussion, at least in the Pac-12 footprint today, about, you know, what is Few's plan, and will he be part of Gonzaga basketball in 2026 and beyond? Do you get a sense of how long this guy wants to coach?
He plays that pretty close to the vest, and he always has. He says he doesn't have a five-year plan. He doesn't have a 10-year plan. He's made it clear that he believes that associate head coach Brian Michelson will be the coach who takes over for him. I know that, you know, some people are concerned about what a post-Few future looks like at Gonzaga. I think they've built a really good – they have the foundation for this program to continue to succeed when he goes. But, yes, I do think that national championship and getting Gonzaga into a steady conference situation and just in a spot where they can continue to succeed without him are the two things that he wants to do. If he checks off national championship in the next year or two, I think there is a distinct possibility that he doesn't end up being around for a whole lot longer than that. He's a family man. He loves, you know, getting out and fly fishing, and I could see him calling it a career maybe a little earlier than some people think. But if this program remains competitive and they are close but not quite in that national championship conversation, I have a hard time seeing him be willing to walk away until he gets that in his bag.
And what does Gonzaga basketball look like after Few? Do you have confidence that Gonzaga can still be Gonzaga?
Yeah, I do. I think, you know, the confidence waned a little bit amongst the fan base when Tommy Lloyd left. I think a lot of people felt very confident in Tommy Lloyd's ability to take over seamlessly when Mark Few departed, and I think the proof is there in the sense that Tommy Lloyd has had a tremendous amount of success at Arizona, particularly in the regular season. The tournament success has not quite been there for Coach Lloyd, although it took Few a little while to get there as well. Brian Michelson has been in this program for an incredibly long time. I think he understands the culture. He has been a huge recruiter for the team, not just he's heavily involved in the recruitment of Chet Holmgren and Jalen Sugg, the top-tier guys, but he's also been involved in the recruitment and development of guys who weren't in that five-star conversation who ended up being prolific players at Gonzaga, the Corey Kisperts of the world and some of the international players they've brought in. So I do think Gonzaga is going to be on steady footing without Mark Few, but it's certainly going to be different. And that first year or two in the post-Few era is going to be really critical to prove to recruits, to prove to fans, to prove to media that this team can still hang without their head coach.
We are talking to Andy Patton. He covers Gonzaga basketball. You say mixed reviews, or maybe a split decision. Are there people that are just adamantly against it, or is it more on that other side, Andy? Is it more, let's see what they do to round out the conference before I make a judgment?
I think it's a little bit more that. I do think there's a subset who believes that Gonzaga belongs and should have stayed in the WCC from like an institutional perspective. And I can understand that argument, but it's just you can no longer live that way in the modern era of college athletics. You have to make moves that add value to your program financially and things like that. I think there's another group that is still holding out hope that either the Big 12 or the Big East would potentially find a way to add Gonzaga. We've seen the amount of times that the Big 12 has talked about adding Gonzaga and then not actually made said move, and the Big East has basically admitted, hey, we'd have added them 5 years ago if they were, you know, if their campus wasn't so far away. So I think that, you know, first of all, if those conferences want to add Gonzaga 4, 5, 6 years from now, potentially that becomes an option. I think it's more likely that those conferences are not going to add Gonzaga, and Gonzaga is making the move that makes the most sense for them right now and in the future. But I think there's also people who fall into the camp that you mentioned, who just like, hey, if it's Memphis and SMU and or SMC, excuse me, and Grand Canyon, great, we're in, let's party. But if it's Texas State and Sacramento State, maybe we're not so excited about what this move means for the Zags.
I don't think it's Texas State and Sacramento State. You can put their minds at ease. Yeah, what I keep hearing from the Pac-12 is, you know, I think they messed some of the messaging up maybe last week, 2 weeks ago. I think it was a mess as they were talking with Memphis and Tulane and South Florida and chasing UNLV, trying to, you know, iron that out before they got Gonzaga. I think they screwed the whole week up. They looked bad. Mm-hmm. But I don't, you know, I watched today as the Mountain West grabs UTEP. I don't think the Pac-12 had any interest in UTEP. I don't think they, you know, they talked to Texas State but did not extend an offer. I don't think they have an appetite for them. I think they're aiming higher than that because you can kind of see what they did in the Mountain West. They grabbed the top. They get Gonzaga. You know, they're being very picky, you know, as they shop around. I told my college kid, Andy, I said, you know, you shouldn't be shopping at, like, Market of Choice and Trader Joe. It's expensive there. You should be at, you know, Winco or whatever. But it feels to me like the Pac-12 is in a boutique shopping situation here, trying to handpick the best that they can find. I love this. I love that we're going to be talking to you more regularly, and we'll see, you know, what moves the needle. Last question for you. The revenue distribution that is being talked about, the Pac-12 told me from the minute they grabbed those four Mountain West schools that, you know, they were going to incentivize the schools to win. You know, we're now hearing that as much as 50% of the NCAA tournament units and college football playoff distributions will go to the school that earned them. That's not like a lot of other conferences that just split it equally among the members. Nobody's going to be really subsidizing anybody else. How much does that play into, you know, Gonzaga's thinking as they look at how attractive the Pac-12 is? How much of it is the Pac-12's brand that appeals to them? You tell me, like, what are those factors that you think got Gonzaga to the table?
I think that the revenue distribution and as well as the tournament units, I think that was a huge factor for Gonzaga. Like I mentioned earlier, I think the WCC being willing to make those concessions is part of the reason Gonzaga hasn't spent the last half decade in the Mountain West, which, for Gonzaga, they were getting pretty frustrated in the WCC, being like, hey, we're the only team that makes it every single year. Occasionally, St. Mary's makes it, and lately, St. Mary's has been more consistent. But Gonzaga was like, why are we splitting these units with a bunch of teams that haven't made the tournament in 25 years? And they got their wish, and they got that. They got, I don't know the exact percentage, but they got a significant chunk of those units were going to them in the WCC. And I think the Pac-12 being willing to make some concessions in that area certainly helps for Gonzaga. They're getting, a smaller cut. That 50% is a smaller number, but again, you're going to consistently have 3, 4, potentially 5 teams in the NCAA tournament every year. So this is good news for Gonzaga. I think it mattered to them a lot. I do think that the conference prestige matters to some extent as well. The Pac-12 is not the same Pac-12, but it's still the same brand. It's still the same leadership, organization, and everything like that. And I think for Gonzaga, this has always been a goal of theirs. And while the Pac-12 looks different than it did, it's still an important kind of for them to be in what is considered the best conference on the West Coast is something that matters to the school and the university. They've considered themselves athletically, one of the best in the entire West Coast. And so you want to be in the conference competing against the very best. And they now have the opportunity to do that. And I think that matters significantly to them.
Andy Patton, thank you, man. Good luck. You can find his work, Locked On Zags podcast, among other places. Great follow on Twitter. We'll get you back on when this thing's complete. I'd love to take the temperature in Spokane. Thanks, Andy.
Thank you, John. Appreciate it.
Coming up in the 4 o'clock hour, we will talk with Joth Rickey. He is the former CEO of Dutch Bros. He is now the executive chairman of Burgerville. He and his family today announced a $3 million gift to Oregon State, earmarked for men's and women's basketball. Big move by Joth, who is buying in big time with basketball. Why is he doing it? Is it in relation at all to what's happening in the Pac-12? We'll have a conversation with Joth coming up. I've been in contact with him quite frequently in the last year, and not surprised that he is stepping up and making a big gift. But Joth will join us at 4:20. Want you hear if you want to hear in his words why he is investing. And oh, by the way, $3 million invested in Oregon State men's and women's basketball. You better get busy, you know, getting the programs and getting, you know, the men's program in particular stepped up to the plate, because Gonzaga and San Diego State and Boise State and Colorado State and Utah State are all going to be there to win. And Oregon State men's basketball has got to be there in a meaningful way. So we'll talk to Joth coming up in hour two. I want you to leave it here. Our big splash coming up next.